We're back for another week with Mike Hoskins, chief at Parenton Ambulance, and we've had Mike on the last couple of weeks, too, to discuss various topics from a first responder's perspective, but this week, we want to touch on what we can do as a community to help out, because I think we oftentimes see first responders, and we're grateful for what they do, and we understand it's a very difficult job, but we just don't know if there's any ways we can help make their daily lives easier. So today we're going to talk about some things that you can actually do. So Mike, thank you again for joining me and talk a little bit about your community, Parenton. How do they react to you as a first responder and your team and some of the heroic work that you do out there? Do you feel like they're grateful and aware as we all should be, or is there still some work to be done in that area? Talk a little bit about your community, Parenton, what you've seen from the people there and how they've appreciated what you and your staff do for them.
Well, the community out in Parenton and Fairport are just tremendously supportive of Parenton Ambulance. In fact, when I came out to Parenton 3 years ago, and I came from Henrietta, which is a very similar suburban community, but it had a totally different feel. The community in Fairport and Parenton seems to be very, very close-knit and very, very supportive of one another, whether it's businesses trying to support one another or supporting other nonprofits. You know, Lollipop Farms is out there. There's a lot of small businesses. And just everybody, whether it's a resident, the elected officials, the business leaders, everyone goes out of their way to try and support one another. I think what we've found, however, is that in trying to raise awareness, we found that many people don't know about the challenges we're facing. And once given the opportunity to learn about them, the next thing they ask is, what can I do to help? Right. And that's a tremendous response to hear.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we don't quite know what to do to help. So what are some things we can do to help our first responders and law enforcement and everyone else who does all the heroic things that you do?
Right. The one thing that we're really promoting right now, and you may have seen a CPR public service announcement on WHEC Channel 10 that we've been running in partnership with Billeteer Electric, is that we've been trying to promote learning CPR. So through that partnership, and you'll see some others, we have a couple of other business partners that are going to be working with us to support our PSA, hopefully through the whole rest of the year, but we'll see how many we get. In fact, I'll give you a little sneak peek that Abbott's is coming next, which is perfect in time for summer. And really, the message is that it takes, on average, in our community, 5 to 10 minutes to get the ambulance to the scene by the time you call 911. But we also know that somebody suffering cardiac arrest loses 10% of their chance of survival for every minute that goes by that nobody does CPR. So you can imagine if it takes us 5 to 10 minutes to get there, we're between a 50% and a 0% chance of survival by the time we get to the patient if nobody's done CPR. So what we're saying is, help us help these patients who are the most critical we will face. If you can start CPR, and if you can find and apply an AED before we get there, you dramatically increase the chance of survival for that patient. Help us help them. And that's kind of the message we're sharing right now.
Could you instill a little bit of confidence, too, into our audience? Because I know I struggle with this, too. I don't like the sight of blood. I don't like the, you know, idea of trying to restore someone and the hands-on physical care. I mean, there's a reason I never went to medical school or even majored in biology. Could you reassure our audience who may be in the same boat as me that learning CPR actually is something that we can all achieve?
Anybody can do it. We get asked all the time, you know, how young or how old can a student be? And the answer is, as long as they can compress the mannequin to the appropriate depth, we'll let them take the class. If you're a bystander and you don't have CPR certification, we ask that you at least try. Doing something is better than nothing, and you are protected by a Good Samaritan law that basically says, even if you're worried about hurting them, we're willing to let you try because we know what the result will be if you don't try. We know that they will die in the absence of CPR and AED usage. So it's worth it to give it a try. Now, I've literally coached people in the heat of the moment to take over CPR for me when I'm the only one on scene. The 911 telecommunicators here at the 911 center will provide instructions over the phone. So you can literally flip it to speakerphone, set it next to the patient, and they will walk you through step by step, checking for a pulse, checking for breathing, and starting compressions. I also would encourage everyone who's listening to this right now to go to parentonambulance.org/CPR and sign up for a CPR class. We offer them at our station house multiple times a month out in Parenton, but we also will bring our training equipment and our instructors to any business or organization at a date and time convenient for them. We'll bring everything they need to get their staff certified in CPR. It can be taught in as little as 5 minutes, just hands-only CPR. And the certification course that we recommend for most people is only about 2 to 2.5 hours.
So it's a simple exercise, but it's something that you do recommend go through the course. And is that all free, too, to visit parenton.org/CPR?
I wish it were free. Certainly, if we could find ourselves a benefactor or a sponsor, and I'll be completely honest, we are open to business sponsors for CPR classes. If we could lower the cost of that, I think it would allow us to train and certify more people.
Sure.
The cost is generally about $60, $65, depending on which course. And we do offer some discounts to businesses and organizations for first-time customers or if they book multiple classes and things like that. We try to make it as affordable as possible, but we also do the hands-only CPR training at public events. So we'll be at Fairport Canal Days. We'll be providing a medical standby, but also an outreach tent where we're going to be teaching hands-only CPR, meaning we're not going to worry about the breathing part. We're just going to focus on doing compressions. I can teach that in 5 minutes.
So there are plenty of opportunities for community members to not spend a lot of money and actually learn this invaluable skill that could save someone's life.
I think
that's not an overstatement to say that sometimes, like you said, performing CPR incredibly improves their chance of survival. Have you seen this too in action in the community? Some good Samaritans, some just regular civilians who have performed CPR and saved somebody's life so you could get there in time?
We have. So interestingly enough, one of our board directors survived a cardiac arrest event, not in our community at the time that it happened, but he had somebody start CPR. The ambulance arrived, took over care, and they were able to successfully restart his heart and revive him, and he walked out of the hospital. Mm. He is one of the 10% of people that survive cardiac arrest annually.
Wow.
And I don't want to understate that. Only 10% of people on average nationally survive. That's a pretty low number, and we're working to improve that. What we've found in our community is that 56% of the cardiac arrests we went to last year, somebody started CPR before our arrival, which is excellent. That's far greater than the less than 40%. Some studies show that nationally, that's where that benchmark stands. But I want to get that to like 80 to 100%, right? If we had anybody anywhere in the community suffer a cardiac arrest, I want them to feel confident that there's somebody around them that can start CPR and there's an AED available within, you know, earshot that can be applied and save that person. That's the goal.
Wow. And of course, this topic makes us Bills fans think about DeMar Hamlin and that whole situation and how heroic those first responders were. And now DeMar Hamlin is going to be playing football again. So a lot of people who might question the potential for quality of life following a heart event like this, I think there is clear that saving somebody's life could not only be saving somebody's life for a short period of time, but it could be actually renewing their lifestyle and reviving them to live a happy and healthy life.
Absolutely. I think DeMar Hamlin, as tragic as that event was, it had a positive outcome.
Yeah.
And it allows us to point to that and say, this is the reason why CPR is so important. Now, I try to draw some comparisons. We don't generally have a team of healthcare professionals waiting by on the sidelines to care for somebody in cardiac arrest.
Sure.
So a better example that I point to still within the Bills organization is actually Kim Pegula. She suffered a cardiac arrest in her home. Wow. Her daughter, Jessica, had just learned CPR 2 weeks earlier. Her daughter called 911. Her daughter started CPR. Her daughter is the reason that Kim Pegula is still alive. It's amazing to think that within a matter of 6 months, they had two people within their organization not only suffer cardiac arrest, but survive it. The one in the home is what I think is more compelling because that's more realistic to where the average person is going to experience cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And because somebody learned CPR, Jess Pegula in that instance, that's why she's alive today. So that's quite the story. And I know a lot of our listeners probably don't even realize that, which is an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that. Mike Hoskins is the chief at Parenton Ambulance, and we talked about learning CPR, and we're really stressing the importance of doing that. And just being aware of some of the challenges, as we've talked about in the past 2 weeks with you, Mike, that first responders face in our community, just to gain an appreciation for what you do. Are there any other ways that we can support as a community your efforts?
So EMS Week is coming up May 21st through May 27th. It's a national celebration of EMS providers every year in the third week of May. it's not just a recognition of the hard work that our folks do day in and day out. It's also meant to bring the community in to show them, kind of peel back the curtain of what we do, see how the sausage is made, see what it takes from an equipment standpoint or training or supplies, so that when they do need us, they feel confident that we have brought all of the tools, equipment, and we have all the education and training necessary to care for them. So we're hosting an open house at our station on May 21st, which is Sunday, from 1 to 4 p.m. so that we can show people what we do. We're going to teach them hands-only CPR. We're going to teach them skills like stop the bleed for when people have uncontrolled hemorrhaging. We're going to show them our station. We're going to show them all of our equipment, the things that we have invested in to make sure that they're getting the exceptional medical care that they've come to rely on from our service.
So, that, again, that's May 21st to kick off EMS Week. We're looking forward to that. 1 to 4 p.m. at the Parenton station there, out there in the Fairport area?
Yep, Turkhill Road, right next to the town hall offices.
Great community event for you to get involved with if you're curious to hear more, of course, because we all need to show more appreciation and do something for these first responders, because certainly you guys put your lives on the line, literally, as we talked about in last week's segment, to help us. And you talk about awareness, too. And how would you say, you talked about the Parenton community being fairly aware, how would you say as an entire greater Rochester community we're doing as far as awareness and appreciation for first responders?
Well, overall, in the last couple of years, we've made tremendous progress. In fact, leaders of EMS agencies in Monroe County in the last year have come together to try to speak with a single unified voice about the challenges we all face. So we have now recently created the Monroe County EMS Chiefs Association, so that, again, instead of Parenton Ambulance or Gates Ambulance or Rondecoeur Ambulance all having the same challenges but speaking independently, we are now unified in the fact that we're all facing the same challenges, and we know that we need to provide better awareness. In our community, we've started an online newsletter, so we have about 1,500 subscribers so far, and we put out a newsletter every month. Here's what we're doing. Here's the challenges. This month, we're talking about the funding gap, the gap between the expenses that we incur to provide service and the reimbursement or lack thereof from health insurance, and how there's a financial gap there that we need help to overcome. So we're trying to explain to the community why this gap exists and how to advocate at the county, state, and federal levels to help us change some of the reimbursement regulations and strategies, because that's really going to help the local ambulance services. That's the empowerment that we can provide to the community to help us make the changes we need to care for them.
And as chief yourself at Parenton Ambulance, what would you say is the most fulfilling part of your job when you're in the community and someone, what do you most appreciate hearing from somebody or a family member that you just helped?
I love when somebody grabs me on the street and says, one of your EMTs or paramedics helped care for my loved one, or they came to my home and they held my hand, or they told me it was going to be okay. And in some cases, it's not always a good outcome, right? Some of these folks have said, you know, my loved one passed away, but I remember how they made me feel. And when I hear things like that, when I hear the impact that our staff has on family and patients, nothing makes me more proud than hearing things like that.
Absolutely. Mike Hoskins, chief at Parenton Ambulance, and you were talking about next Sunday, which is a week from today, 1 to 4 p.m., head on down to Turkhill Road at Parenton Ambulance, and it's going to be a fun event, 3 hours, but is there any registration required, or is this something that community members can just stop on by?
Anybody can stop on by. I know we're competing with the PGA, and you know, the following weekend is Memorial Day weekend, so anytime people are available, stop on down. We're going to have food. We're going to have games for the kids. We're going to have our mannequin there. That's going to be, I think, really fun for the kids to be able to interact with. If you've never seen our mannequin, he talks, he blinks, he can do all sorts of other things. And I think kids and adults alike are really going to enjoy the opportunity to engage with Parenton Ambulance, feel confident about their local ambulance service and how we're serving them. Ultimately, I hope we're able to educate them and look towards how they can support us in our long-term sustainability.
fun free event coming up next Sunday, a week from today. Be sure to make plans. It's not Memorial Day weekend, so that was smart not to compete with that. But next weekend, Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 at Parenton Ambulance on Turk Hill Road. Looking forward to that event. And, of course, it's so important. This is such a critical topic to dive into what we can do to help you guys as first responders. So, Mike Hoskins, thank you for all you do for our community, most importantly. And thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me and getting the message out.